Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on WIWFM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got guests across the way from Jasper Grade School. They are holding the 7th annual Jasper Shootout this weekend, and we're going to talk about that along with all kinds of other things as the morning wears on. My guests across the way from my right to my left is Matt Shreve. He's the head coach of the boys basketball team. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well, Bruce. Thanks for having us on this morning.
Glad for you to come on. Next to him, sitting next to him, Eric Bassnett. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us on.
Eric's the girls basketball coach over at Jasper. And then next to him is Dr. David Mills, the superintendent. What all do you do at Jasper?
Principal, substitute bus driver, just
clean out the trash occasionally.
I have done that, and I've also picked up vomit. So
sweep the place up. I like that.
People like myself that are in administration like this, we're a dying breed. There's just not very many Renaissance men.
I guess that's true. That makes sense. By the way, before we get too far, congratulations. I hear you have a new family member.
Yes, I got married this summer to Johanna Mormon, and she's officially a Wayne Countyan now. She got her driver's license here recently and registered to vote here in Wayne County.
What does she do?
Johanna is a behavior analyst and works right now with adults that have long-term disability and are in homes trying to work with them and treat with them. She works down in the Harrisburg area.
Well, congratulations to you on the big wedding. That's wonderful news. Okay, what is new? What is going on at Jasper School? I tell you what, Doc, we every time you're out here, there is something going on. You've got all kinds of stuff.
Well, it's working inside a school. It's a lot like a clean version of the Blues Brothers. It's about redemption. You know, just constantly.
Is that right?
It's about redemption. It is. No, this week at school we're closing out on first quarter. This is 40th day of school there at Jasper. Of course, got the shootout coming up this weekend. We turn around next week and have parent-teacher conferences, as we move in to second quarter. Right now, big things that people would see out and about in the community, because I was just out yesterday doing it as well. Got a lot of our junior high school kids out grabbing their leaf collections, so they're tramping through, Maple Hill Cemetery and Leo French Park.
Looking for particular elms and hickories and oaks.
There's just not a lot of elms anymore. Dutch elm disease has really consumed a lot of them around here.
I've got some.
Really, the big thing that we're focusing on heavy this year at Jasper, along with a lot of other Wayne County schools, is bringing our English language arts curriculum in line with the demands of the new Illinois learning standards and what kids are going to be looking at when they do the PARC testing. Sometimes we get caught in the trap of, math is math and reading's reading.
Right.
But what is being required of our kids, especially as we move into those junior high school years, the reading strategies that they need to have to be able to read for information, pull information, out of it and answer questions, the ability to be able to do that and then turn that into a written narrative is very important. So those are some things professional development-wise we're working on this year. And we are very, very happy and proud to be part of a countywide effort. We formed a professional learning community this summer. In fact, Matt was one of the anchors on that group. We got about two dozen educators from across Wayne County together, all seven of the school districts, and did strategic planning on, how do we move from where our English language arts curriculum are at right now to where we need to be. So it's a year-long systemic process that we're in. It's just exciting to do that and to have, all these people come together and work.
Tell me a little bit about the new testing, because it seems like over the past few years there were the occasional – you were trying to – the occasional schools, I don't know if Jasper was one of them, probably not Jasper one of them, were trying to teach to the test. And that really, that seems to me a little bit lead-headed, and it you're not, the kids may not be learning quite as much as they should if they're trying to they're trying to be taught to a test. That's not how Jasper does things.
Well, what had happened is when you go back, and you know, just in fact, if you just go back 10 years ago, that'd be 2006. You still had the federal No Child Left Behind Act was in place, and really what that did for Illinois was it said, okay, Illinois, you're going to have a specific set of learning standards, and we want a certain percentage of your kids each year to be meeting or exceeding those standards. And Illinois had the ability to set up that testing. Well, when we did that in the elementary schools then, you had what was called the Illinois, the ISAT test.
Right.
And that was what was called an Illinois reference test, which meant it was our student in our school versus other students in schools in the state of Illinois.
Right.
And it was a very much a standards-based kind of test. And it was more of a multiple choice. You're going through, you're looking, and you're doing that. When we made, the state of Illinois made the change to the new Illinois learning standards, which is basically a code word for Common Core.
Okay.
And we went to the PARC testing. What happened is that test there was no longer our student and our school versus other schools and students in Illinois. That was our student and our school on a national
basis,
almost internationally normed reference test.
Oh, really?
So what that did is that drove down a lot of those scores, and see what that PARC test assessment is all about is it's about determining a child's college and career readiness. So when we try and compare, you know, what we were doing on the ISAT with where the PARC was at, it really wasn't even an apples to oranges kind of comparison because of the way it was normed and referenced. Right now, the big change in testing that's different you've got a considerable amount of reading, and then it's no longer just, you know, fill in the blank, here's your answer. It's you've got to do a written prompt. You've got to defend your answer. You've got to explain it. And what we look at is that changes a little bit of the methodology on way we teach, the way we assess, and we do things to get them up to that level.
Kind of have to have a little bit probably more of a critical thinking background or something to be prepared for a test like that. Is that correct?
And you'll see these two guys probably nod their heads, something I mentioned.
Well, they were nodding when I said that, yeah.
Is what's called HOTS, higher order thinking skills.
Really?
Know? Yep. And that's a big part of it. You know, I had an opportunity to speak with a parent just this past week that, you know, had some concerns over the pace at which, you know, we're going and we're doing things. And
too fast or too slow?
They were concerned about the fast part of it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, you know, I'm going to kind of show you here what we're up against. And they've got a child that's in high school and one that's in elementary school. Their child that's in high school, when they take the SAT as a junior now,
right?
That's a 300-minute test.
Sure.
Their child that's in, I believe it's fourth grade, their child that's in fourth grade this year will take over 650 minutes of tests.
Wow.
From the state. Oh, yeah. I mean,
double.
It is double, you know, and when they sit down and they take math, there'll be, I think, four different math tests, and I think there's like three or four different, you know, English language arts tests, and that's the big thing that we've seen such a change in, you know, a change in is the high expectations and really becoming kind of higher stakes when you start talking about college and career readiness.
Do you get the sense that it's more effective or less effective, or what are you finding, Doc? You've been at this for several years, several different levels of schools too.
What I look at is if you could wrap it, you know, up in just a real, you know, simple term, it's a frustrating expectation. And the reason that I say that is our students and our kids, and this isn't just a Jasper thing. This is, you know, all around, you know, in this area, they're very resilient kids.
Sure.
And when you set high expectations and you provide the framework for them to get there and do that, most of our kids succeed and do that. But what makes that expectation piece frustrating is, especially for us as educators, is we've watched the state of Illinois and the Federal Department of Education push the compass points of change so hard, so fast over the last 5 years that what's happened is you've got where we are at and then where they want us at, and there's this vacuum between the two.
Yeah.
There's just a, you know, there's a lack
of... It's going
to
take time to get there.
It is. And there's a lack of curriculum out there, and there's a lack of resources to try and build that bridge to get there. You know, one of the things that I'll stand up for... You know, for most educators around in and out, is I'm watching, you know, our educators, especially in self-contained, you know, elementary classrooms, you know, pre-K up through five, department level teachers that are in reading and mathematics. These people are probably working harder and longer and introducing more new things in to try and supplement the curriculum to get it to a point on where it's at.
Yeah.
But then you turn around and you look at the results.
Sure.
And the scores are...
Scores haven't responded yet.
Exactly. The scores haven't responded, you know, on where it's at.
It's going to take time.
It's going to take time.
Do you find that... we'll get to basketball here in a minute, guys. I'm telling you, we will. Are you finding parents or the folks in the community that you talk to whenever they see these scores are published? Mm-hmm. Whenever they see these scores, do you find patients, impatients? What are you finding? Once you get the chance to explain mm-hmm. it, I guess, right?
What I look at is you know, at first there was a lot of concern. You know, how does my child go from, you know, meeting or exceeding to now they're at this level
yeah.
in the same year?
Yeah.
And we never really got the what have you done wrong. People wanted to know what's happening. And the big thing that I look at that has been difficult to try and explain to the general public and to parents, you know, and I'll just, you know, put it in perspective. You know, you go back 4 years ago, before we were doing the PARC testing, and, you know, Jasper Grade School in 1 year had 94% of the kids meeting and exceeding
right.
math.
Right.
Then the state changed the metrics on the ISAT to where it was going to be more like the PARC. Well, then all of a sudden we had 50% of our kids meeting in math.
Right.
Then they changed the metrics on the ISAT the last year we gave it, and it was 68%. Then the PARC came out the first year, and we were at 32%. And then, you know, this year we've raised that level in math to where it's 38%. And what you look at is you know, there's a four-year time span. How do you go from
94
down to as low as 32%? And like I said, you know, we're doing things. We've instituted some new curriculum. You know, we're working and doing that. But to be able to explain, you know, here's where that jumps at.
Yeah.
And for the most part, with our parents, and I think that our faculty staff has done a good job with it, and the board has done a good job with it, is we got out ahead of the curve and let people know that, hey,
there might be an issue.
when this changes, this is a different test and it's measuring different things. It doesn't mean that, you know, your child is you know, is in trouble. It doesn't necessarily mean that the school system's failing them. We're going to be graded at a different level.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess in closing on that, you know, the thing I look at and I've reiterated it with my teachers and I would, you know, ask the same thing with, you know, teachers here in Wayne County. And parents is, you know, when we were with No Child Left Behind and that idea that by 2014, 100% of kids were going to be meeting or exceeding.
Sure.
You know, when we started that journey in 2000 with adequate yearly progress, they said 40% of your kids had to meet or exceed. Well, then 2 years later, they wanted 47%. And then 2 years after that, they wanted, I think it was, 53%. Well, what I look at is, you know, we've went through this change in the PARC to where it's college and career readiness. Well, the first year we took it in math, we were at 32.
Right.
Now we're at about 38, 39. You see what's happening.
Yeah. You hopefully it'll keep
exactly.
going up. Yeah.
You know, we kind of gain ground, and it's just one of those things that what happens is, you know, the way you institute your curriculum, the rigor by which, you know, you're teaching that in the class, your students respond and do that. But like I said, it's that vacuum between where we're at and where they want to go right now that we've got to get that populated with the right resources.
We'll talk more about what's going on at Jasper. Mainly, we're going to talk basketball. The Jasper Shootout is coming up this weekend, and it's a big deal. All kinds of things going on. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show. I've got Matt Shreve along with Eric Bastet, and I haven't let them talk at all. I'm just mean. And David Mills is here, too. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got some folks from Jasper Grade School here. Eric Bassnett along with Matt Sharif and Dr. David Mills. We've been talking about all kinds of different things, but let's talk about what's going on this weekend. The athletic director and girls basketball coach is Eric Bassnett. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Move
thanks.
That around if you want, don't want to lean so bad.
Okay, there we go.
There you go. How did this Jasper shootout start? You were involved in it, but it's basically the Jasper Athletic Association takes care of this, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. Before I get started, I wanted to give my fifth graders out at Jasper a shout out.
They were
going to be listening while they were working on an art project.
How about
this
that?
Week? So
what are they working on today?
They're doing a snapshot of fall. They're making a fall portrait. So.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
That'll be fun.
I told them I'd give them a shout-out.
Who's your sub right now?
Mrs. Draper.
Well, hello, Mrs. Draper. Make sure the kids don't tear the place apart. Athletic Association takes care of this, right?
Yeah, that's right. And our officers are Sarah White is the president, and Chastity Sudarth is the vice president. Regina Rollins is the treasurer, Tanya Harvey is the secretary, and Courtney Woodrow is the tournament coordinator.
How many schools, and I know you've got 30 different teams, but how many different schools do you have involved in the big shootout this weekend? It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is. We've got, we were counting, I think there's 15 games total. And so it involves like
a lot of the schools you get both the girls and boys team to come, right?
Yeah, that's right. We try to get a good mix of boys and girls teams. I've got the schedule here.
Who's playing? When's it start?
It starts on Thursday. First game's at 4:45.
Okay.
This Thursday, and the first game Thursday is it's a girls game. St. Mary's, Mount Carmel, versus Blueford.
All right.
And then the second game at 6 that night is the New Hope boys versus the St. Mary's Mount Carmel boys.
Okay.
And then at 7:15 that night is St. Joe Alney girls versus Wayne City girls. And then the last game that night is a boys game between West Salem and St. Joe Alney.
You kind of try to make it so that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, that you have, like I said, both boys and girls playing at the same time. But you also try to make it so that the closer schools don't have to. Well, they're the ones that you'll move around all over the place, won't they? Like New Hope's playing on two different days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they our coordinators over the years have tried to do their best to get matchups between schools that, you know, they think would be pretty, you know, would be a pretty
relatively even
game.
Matched.
Yeah. So, and if they can, you know, to try to play someone that maybe you wouldn't play, but I think the first priority is to try to get the, you know, good matchups, and it kind of gives everyone a chance to, see other teams, see other teams play, and kind of gives you a chance to kind of gauge your team against some of the other teams. So,
what have you found over the years, Eric? As far as have you been successful? That's been pretty evenly matched up throughout the years. I mean, there's never any real big old blowouts at any of these levels, are there?
No, there's been. This is the seventh. This will be the seventh one.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, usually there's pretty good competition, pretty good games, and. We actually had several teams that we had to that I know that they had to turn down this year.
Oh, really?
So there's a lot of interest in this. I think for a lot of teams, it's especially for all the boys teams. I think it's their first game usually,
right,
for the boys. Now some of the girls teams start earlier.
Right. You've got a game tonight, don't you?
Yeah, we play at Cisney tonight.
Oh, okay.
So we actually play Cisney.
So that starts Friday.
Yeah.
You play Cisney twice this week.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
set that up? The AD?
Well, I'd already had the game tonight already scheduled, but I think it's more just kind of a match, you know, a matchup deal.
Sure,
even matchup.
Well, that's how it worked out to get Cisney there for the boys and the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's playing Friday night?
Friday night at the first game at 4:45, we've got the Sisney girls versus our Jasper girls.
Sure.
And then at 6, it's the Sisney boys versus the Wayne City boys.
Okay.
And then at 7:15, we've got the Albion boys versus the Flora boys.
Okay.
And then the last game that night is Richland County versus Flora girls.
That's amazing to me they've changed that to Richland County. It's just, it's Alney. I've always been used to calling that Alney. Are you okay with this? Or I guess you don't really have a choice, do you?
Yeah, they just whatever they
whatever they're going to call themselves. I guess then they got to get all new uniforms, cheerleading uniforms and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I guess. All right, who's playing on Saturday? You start early on Saturday,
yeah,
right?
That's the big day. Saturday we start at 9 with the Jeff boys versus the Blueford boys.
Okay.
And then at 10:15, we've got the Fairfield girls versus Casey Mount Vernon girls.
Oh, okay.
At 11:30, Casey Mount Vernon boys versus the Fairfield boys.
All right.
And then at 12:45, Spring Garden versus Carmine. That's
right.
Girls.
Stop right there. Where is Spring Garden?
Spring Garden is...
And that's a new... speaking of name changes.
Yeah, that is Ina... and Dodd's co-op.
Okay, so it's two different schools. Did the school come together, or it's a co-op of two schools?
Co-op.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And then at 2 o'clock, we've got the Grayville boys versus our Jasper boys.
Okay.
3:15, the New Hope girls versus Mount Carmel girls. And that's Mount Carmel grade school, not
Mount Carmel St. Mary's.
Yeah.
This is the big school.
Yeah. And then at 4:30, the last game is the El Dorado boys versus the Mount Carmel boys.
See, now that's those are two pretty good sized big schools coming up for that, isn't it? The Mount Carmel school's big.
Yeah, and El Dorado replaced another team late. I know one team had to drop out, and El Dorado was interested in joining. So,
what's the now if somebody wants to come in and if you get your admission, you're there all night long. You don't shovel people in and out, do you?
No. Like on Saturday, if you wanted to, see that first game and then, stay for the last one, it'd just be just one time.
Eric, it's imperative. I think if you're somebody's going to be there from 9 a.m. till 6 o'clock, you got to have food on here.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the story on the food out there?
Well, we've got pretty good food lined up on Thursday and Friday. We're going to feature Matt Kenny barbecue sandwiches.
Oh, really?
And barbecue nachos.
How about that?
So I know that'll be popular. And then on Saturday, we're going to feature a full menu from the Backwoods Smoking Crew.
Oh, no kidding!
And they're going to be there with their trailer and their smoker, and they're going to have pork burgers, ribeyes, pork chops. Barbecue nachos and curly fries, and then it says et cetera, so maybe even a couple other things too.
I'll bet you some ice cream or something like that. Maybe that.
I don't know. Maybe. quite a bit of good stuff to choose from, though.
Yeah, I can't believe you were able to twist Matt Kenny's arm really to help you out there. He doesn't help anybody.
No, he's really good to help us out anytime we ask him to. He's really good to help us out, so we appreciate that.
How big a crowd will you have? I mean, you got that nice big gymnasium over there at Jasper. And I know it gets filled during the boys' basketball games. It's probably filled during some of the girls. How big a crowd will you think you'll have? I guess Saturday will be your big day, but do you get good crowds on Thursday and Friday too?
Last year we had good crowds really the whole weekend because we have a lot of local teams. So they bring good crowds, and then we had the other teams from a little bit further away had good traveling crowds last year too.
Do you get some grade school basketball junkies from some of the other schools that will sit there all day long, like on Saturday? Somebody who might be a Mount Carmel fan just kind of sit there, show up for the Jeff game, and sit there, be in and out all day.
Yeah, I noticed we had several fans that were. Came early and then stayed late, and I liked it. Being the girls' basketball coach, what I really liked about it was a chance to kind of see, several teams early. Most of them that we were going to play at some point. So
see, you started last week, right? Didn't you have your first game last week, or is tonight your first game?
No, we played at Edwards County Thursday night.
That's right, at West Salem.
Yeah, and which it's Edwards County is Albion, West Salem, and Grayville
right.
Co-op together. And really for our first game, we lost by 9, but we were winning by 1 going into the fourth quarter. And so for a bigger school and a bigger team, we held with them pretty good.
So last year kind of was a struggle for the girls team from Jasper, right? You're going to be a little bit better this year? What do you think? What's your thought? I guess do you have enough kids for JV as well as varsity?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good mix. We don't have quite as many girls as we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
We do have 4 eighth graders again this year. We've got Tegan Rule out of eighth grade, and also Lauren Eckleberry,
okay,
McKenna Carter, and Caitlin Norton. Those are our 4 eighth graders. And then after that, we've got 3 seventh graders, Lainey Kuntz, Valerie Dagg, and Lexi Abbott. And then after that, we don't have any sixth graders. We drop down to fifth grade after that. And then in fifth grade, we've got Briley Easton, Riley Edwards, Ella Thompson.
Riley's in fifth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade this
year. I am
year.
So old. I can't believe she's that old.
And
it's a good thing she's that old.
And then Lauren Garrett, also out of fifth grade, Rebecca Harwell, and Emily Stanley.
So you've got enough there that you're able to play 5-on-5 during practices and stuff then, right?
Yeah. We've got one of our seventh graders is out hurt with their knee right now. So we've got 6 older girls and 6 fifth graders. So both levels, we've got enough to do JV and varsity. We don't have enough for C games this year. We did C games last uh-huh. year to get some more experience, but we don't have enough to do that. But
well, that's important. That's tremendously important, isn't it? Just get game experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just as much experience as you can get. I told the girls as we were practicing for the last couple of weeks, getting ready for the season, that we did a lot of conditioning to get ready because I knew
we're going to be playing.
We weren't going to have a lot of a bench either level,
yeah.
So we're going to have to be in good shape and try to stay out of foul trouble.
that's a good plan. I'm talking to Eric Bassnett. He's the girls' basketball coach and athletic director at Jasper. I'm going to be talking to Matt Shreve here in a second. You haven't talked for like 30 minutes, have you, Matt?
I'm patiently waiting to wow our audience.
There he is. And also Dr. David Mills from Jasper Grade School. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show shortly. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. I've got the folks from Jasper Grade School across the way, Eric Bassnett, along with Matt Shreve and Dr. David Mills. And we've been talking about a little bit of testing as well as the annual Jasper Shootout, 7th annual Jasper Shootout. And one of the main highlights last year, I know, of the Jasper Shootout has always been watching the Jasper ball team, boys basketball team. You've had a nice little run for a little while, haven't you, Matt?
We've had a pretty solid team the last couple of years, and we lost a lot of eighth graders last year. We've got several new ones who have stepped up to hopefully take their place, and we look forward to another successful season this year.
Tell me about this year's team. You said you've had to you had to replace some eighth graders, and that's always difficult to do, but it's kind of the cost of doing business, isn't it?
Sure, it is. Luckily, this year we've got 4 new eighth graders that have stepped up to the challenge. They've never played before, but they are anxious and willing to learn.
What is the first thing you do to for someone who's an eighth grader who has never played any organized basketball? What's the first thing you teach them? How to block out? How to set a screen? How to throw a pass?
How to run?
I didn't know.
We have kind of a set routine that we do as far as preparing for our season each year.
And sure.
The very first thing we do is what we call conditioning.
Yeah, you're going to get in shape.
They don't touch a ball much the first week. They learn what it is to be able to get up and down the floor, to be in defensive position for a while, do all the zigzag slides and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And if they survive the first week, which they all did this year, then we move on to the stuff that is a little more enjoyable.
A little bit more fun.
For them, yes.
What were the reactions of somebody who'd never... I remember my first basketball practices when I was in fifth grade. We didn't do much conditioning in fifth and sixth grade. We did a ton in seventh and eighth. And I was just shocked in seventh and eighth grade. What were some of the reactions of your kids who've never played basketball before?
Typically, I set a trash can at the end of the gym, both ends of the gym. And the look on their face when they saw me move the trash cans to the end of the gym was priceless. Once they got over the initial,
figured out what the trash can was for. Yeah.
Once they got over the initial shock value of that, they fit in pretty well.
Well, that's good. That's wonderful.
Got to set the tone for them.
Who are your new eighth graders?
Eighth graders, I've got AJ Gonzalez, Ryan Conrad, Caden Wixom, and Noah Musgrave. All good kids. They've all been working very hard.
What makes a kid decide to go out in eighth grade that they may not have been just interested before, or is it a lack of opportunity, or what?
The impression that I get this year, these four gentlemen want to basically enjoy their eighth grade year. They want to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
I think they're going, the way I understand it, they're planning on being involved in some other sports that maybe they haven't played in the past.
Well, that's great.
And fortunately, this year, they've got the support, they've got the opportunity. And as an eighth grader, if they're willing to play, I will do anything in my power to make sure that they're able to.
That's good. That's good. How about your seventh graders?
Seventh graders, I've got a good crew of them. They got some quality time last year. They play very well together.
Now that's the thing. Last year, you were in the lead in quite a bit of the games.
It was a good experience.
Your subs got a chance to play against Varsity Battle.
They did. We had the luxury last year of having some very talented athletes. And these younger guys, we tried to kind of shuffle them in and out to get some experience playing with older kids, with different kids. And it's done nothing but benefit them since last year. So
they've
come a long way. I have Dylan Best, Hunter Biggs, Trent Martin, Landon Stewart, and Jackson Combs playing at the varsity level this year.
I'm guessing one or two or more of those folks are going to start.
I suspect they will. That's always the hardest part as a coach, is trying to figure out which five to stick out there.
See, that's the thing. You got 5 days still to make the call.
That's a good thing and a bad thing.
I was going to say, Eric's having to make the call last week.
they start a little bit earlier than we do.
Yeah.
But I suspect a couple of them will start or at least see a lot of minutes at the varsity level.
What you have at the lower level, second to
sixth grade, I've got a whole slew of them. Six of them we brought up to play varsity ball this year.
Really? You've loaded up your roster.
We have.
You have a 15-man roster.
Sixth grade is a very involved class when it comes to sports. So they get a lot of time at the JV level. They get a lot of time at the C-team level. And this year, some of them will see some significant minutes at the varsity level, too.
Who's on your sixth graders?
Sixth graders, I have Nick Easton, Jonah Easton, Joshua Bassinet, Griffin Hinkle, Jackson Rice, and Logan Auble. A lot of these guys, and it's funny how years work. Some years you have a lot of guards. Some years you have a lot of big men. This year, at all levels, I have so many big men, I don't know what to do with some of them. Some of these guys are...
You're going to have to find somebody to bring the ball up the court.
That's going to be tough. But some of these guys are kind of having to learn some new positions this year. Just because I have so many big men, if they want to see the floor, they've kind of had to adapt and learn a wing position or somewhere else.
Now, do you enjoy coaching a big man or more than a guard? Because that's two different kinds of coaching. When you're coaching big man, you're basically teaching positioning and rebounding sure. and that kind sure. of thing, as opposed to now if you have a guard who can rebound, that's a bonus. But for the most part, with the guard play, you're looking at dribbling and mechanics of ball handling.
Sure. I enjoy coaching big men primarily because that's where I played when I played back in the good old days. My philosophy is kind of that a good big man is very rare, very hard to come by.
Right.
And if you can find a big man in the junior high level that
can play,
can use both hands, can play, can handle the ball and pass the ball, he is nearly unstoppable.
Very valuable.
Very
valuable. Junior high
very
level.
Much that's, so.
What you got in the fifth grade, Lo?
Fifth grade, actually, I've got two fifth graders. I've got Crescent White and Riley Marshall. They're the only two that came out for the team this year. They played peewee ball last year, so they'll see a lot of peewee time this year in the
sure.
C games. They'll see some JV time. I've also got a few more sixth graders that they'll be playing.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed some.
So they'll play with Caden Klein, Caleb Meeks, and Dawson Stewart. So
oh, okay.
They will get some quality minutes. I think we have 8 or 9 C games lined up this year.
That's a great deal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a lot. That seems like last year you probably had like half a dozen or so.
Yeah, it's the trade-off here is our actual peewee season in February has been shortened a little bit. We still have a tournament. We still have some games. But the trade-off is that we picked up all these C games along the way to get them in the mix and get some game time experience.
Oh, that's a wonderful deal. That's a wonderful deal. Now tell me about the conference. You said you've added some more teams into the conference, right?
We have. There's been a few changes this year. Kind of at the end of last season, we had 3 teams express an interest to come into the conference this year. So instead of 7 teams, we now added Sisney, St. Joe, and Clay City.
So you've got Sisney, St. Joe, Clay City. I'm going to be doing this off the top of my head. Wish me luck. Grayville is in the conference.
Grayville.
West Salem is in the conference.
Right.
All right, that's 5. So then let's go with the Wayne County ones. Jeff is in the conference. New Hope. Wayne City.
No? No Wayne City.
Who am I missing?
Sisney.
I'm missing somebody.
Allendale, St. Joe.
Allendale. St. Mary's, Mount Carmel, St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good lineup of teams there.
I think I'm missing somebody too, but anyway, there's 10 of us. So we're looking forward to that. It'll make for a very very good.
Who's going to be the stud duck teams this year?
You know, I talking to Aaron Bassnett, my assistant coach. We don't know.
That's kind of how you know. Last year, you knew going in,
right.
New Hope was going to be good, and Jasper was going to be good. This year, it's kind of wide open, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure. I mean, if I had to pick a team right now, I think Sisney's going to be very tough. They've got some experience coming back from last year that played at the varsity level quite a bit. But for the most part, I think you'll see a lot of evenly matched, probably not a lot of high scoring ball games this year. But they'll be close. They'll be exciting for the fans to watch.
And you know, one of the most important things of those when you go to those games is the atmosphere, and you get the cheerleaders, don't you, Aaron?
Yeah, that's right. Our cheerleaders, I wanted to make sure I introduced them. Their coach is Mrs. Roberta Biggs.
Uh-huh.
And they've got 1 8th grader, Megan Grieve.
Okay.
And then 7th graders, Brea Crane, Valerie Dagg, Lainey Kuntz, and Michaela Kuntz. And then 6th grade, Emily Klein and Avery Stintz. And then 2 fifth graders, Bailey Biggs and Ella Grace Mays.
How about that? They do a wonderful job. All that stuff going on at the Jasper Shootout coming up this weekend from October. It's Thursday through Saturday, all day long Saturday. You can go out there and get you a good meal, get you tuned up on basketball. And, Doc, you had something else you wanted to mention?
One of the things that I want to make certain the listening audience understands about the shootout that's put on out there at Jasper, this is done by the Jasper Athletic Association, and this is a volunteer group of people.
They do a great job for you, don't
they? They do a fantastic job. You know, these are the individuals that make for certain we've got the funds for athletic awards, our athletic dance. They do a varsity club trip. They do wish lists for equipment and other items for the coaches. Just this year, the Athletic Association has added Scholar Bowl and the music department to their roster of athletics and activities that they support
That's great.
So what I want to make for certain the listening audience out there hears is if if you see Sarah White, Chastity Sudarth, Regina Rollins, Tanya Harvey, Courtney Woodrow out and about the next couple of days buying supplies, you know, getting things wrapped up for this shootout, you know, please treat them well. They've worked
treat
very,
well.
Very hard.
How about you say thanks?
And tell them thank you. Because it just takes a tremendous amount of volunteer and prep work to keep this going. And then, you know, they're still needing some people to kind of help, you know, run gate, run concessions and doing that. And what I'll leave people with is a quote from Lord William Wadsworth: volunteering is our way of paying rent in heaven.
There
so
you
thank
go.
You.
Thank you very much for coming on, fellas. We'll talk to y'all. Best of luck all season long, okay?
Thank you.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Have a great one.